Oakland, the most powerful Lacey radio station in America, a Universal Media Access owned radio station.
Welcome to The Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Lisa P., bringing you news and information from the real estate world. So pull up that chair, get out the coffee and pen and pencil, and let's join in the fun. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another week here at The Property Beat. And I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host, my tongue is just tied to my coffee, co-host Lisa P. Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Good morning, Cliff. How's it going?
Excellent. I'm kind of trying to wake up and keeping us safe and out of trouble in the booth. I believe it's Harriman. Are you there this morning?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, he's got such a great voice, doesn't he?
Thank you.
So here at the Property Beat, we talk real estate, and it's subjects that you can talk about, that you want to bring up. You can certainly call in at any time during the show to our hotline, if you will, at 408-912-5565. Again, 408-912-5565. You can also, if you have a question, that's the best way. Get on the line with us and have some fun. So before we kind of get into our day, we always like to start off with Miss Lisa P. asking her kind of like, what's going on out there? What's happening?
Ugh, is what I have to say. I am so frustrated.
Mm-mm. I'm scared to ask. Okay, go ahead. Why?
Okay, so property comes on the market.
Yeah.
Listed for $695,000.
Okay.
$695,000. It's two bedrooms, but downstairs is a whole nother room, which is a bedroom and then a kind of a funky bathroom and a little kitchenette.
Right.
The total house is 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
The lot's a little bit over 5,000 square feet. So when you look at the comps, forgetting that it says on the tax record it's a two bedroom, but when you look at the comps, there's obviously three bedrooms it's competing with. And the price of the three bedrooms is really about $850. So this agent has priced it at this lower price. She's given out 34 disclosure packages.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow,
it's just going to be a friggin' zoo. And it's so frustrating. She has a PhD. PhD in pretty darn.
No, you're trying to. That would be PDA.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's just so frustrating. It's how do you counsel your client?
Well, so let me play devil's advocate with that.
Please,
because
do.
You know, so here's the thing. So you've got a, let's say that you've got a property, you know, you bring it on like you're talking about, where there's some non-conforming area.
Okay.
It's usable, but maybe it's not legal. And people are going to think of it as usable, but you can't, as a real estate company, go out there and say, oh, this is a three-bedroom house, when legally it's only a two-bedroom house.
I agree with that. But you can also take into consideration that there is this space downstairs that is going to be considered a third bedroom. It's legal ceiling height, whether or not it's legal or not. And it should be priced accordingly as to how it's going to be used.
Your point's well taken. There needs to be some kind of a price adjustment. So it looks like it's the most expensive two-bedroom on the area, right? Because that's what it would happen.
Right.
Legally, it would be a very expensive two-bedroom house.
But then explain it.
Yeah, so then you have to say, what, a non-conforming bedroom downstairs? Or I guess you could do that. Is it better to do that and have fewer people go, oh, I don't really, you know, that sounds like maybe it's a garage that got converted or something? I'm just playing devil's advocate with you.
Well, I'm sure from the agent's, as a matter of fact, I know from the agent's standpoint, she was like, I'll price it lower, you know, I'll undersell it and over deliver. When people come in, they'll be just going, oh my God.
Wow.
So, okay, so what kind of price do you think they should write at?
Well, I don't think there's any. I think they've done what they can do from the standpoint of pricing it based upon what's legally there, and the market is going to push it where it's going to push it. Unfortunately, it sounds like no matter what, if you have how many packages she said she sent out?
34.
So that's clearly underpriced by some amount, but I don't think you can price it. You can't price it like a three bedroom house. That just does not work.
I disagree. I do.
Okay.
I get like a nincompoop. Come on.
Okay.
it's clear as the nose on your face that it's basically a three bedroom, for God's sakes, whether irregardless of what the tax rate is.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's what's happened. Real estate companies in the past have said, oh, yeah, it's a three bedroom house. And they've ended up buying a house.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's a three bedroom. I would say it's a two plus.
You know what? I'm going to let Manny from Fremont, who's on the line, I'm sure he's going to jump in on this. Manny, welcome to the Property Beat. How can we help you?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the show. Sorry, my question is not related to the current topic, but...
Oh, geez. Okay, go ahead, Manny. What do you got?
Whenever you get chance, will you be able... Hello?
We're here. Go ahead. Shoot. Ask the question.
Whenever you get chance, will you be able to explain what happens to the property market in a deflationary environment? If, let's say, if in case... Because there's a lot of deflationary pressures going on right now in the broader economy. So whenever you get chance, you know, you can answer. You don't have to, take this question right now. But, you know, if we can, that would be great.
So, Manny, wait, I want to ask you some questions. So, do you think, first of all, do you listen to the show regularly or are you a first-time listener?
This is the first time.
Ah, welcome to the show. So, what do you think is going to happen?
I believe it might go down. That is one. But, you know, I don't know. Will it be catastrophic or it will just a slight adjustment? That's what I was, like, seeking your advice. Not advice, sorry, just the opinion.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair. And Lisa, do you want? She's like.
Well, no. It's actually one of the topics I was going to bring up is because I've been hearing little murmurs that they're feeling that there's going to be some kind of bubble coming down the road, and so I was going to ask you, Cliff, what your thought was.
Okay.
What you've heard.
All right. So I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna get my boots on.
Okay.
My
good.
Gloves on. Get my fist up. Whoo! Here we come. So here it is. Does thinking a thing make it happen? Or does the thing make the thinking happen? Because one of the things that I have perpetuated for many years is that the real estate market in the San Francisco Bay Area people that are economists are going to argue with me. It's not an interest rate sensitive opportunity. It's not a, I got money, I don't got money. It's a confidence market. Because when you're stepping into these high price ranges, it's all about, do I believe it's going to be good or not over the next few years? And if I don't believe it's going to be good, guess what I do?
Nothing.
I sit on the sidelines, yeah. So if I start to feel like, oh man, maybe this market, you know, I'm sitting here looking on my desk. I've got 3 out of 5 articles that all talk about the bubble bursting.
Oh, see, we're all on the
how
same.
How the market is about to collapse. How it's horrible. This is going to be, folks. We're only 2 years into the recovery. If it's going to happen that fast, I don't see the real estate cycle happening every 2 years. I think that if anything, it's gone longer. But what I've constantly said is, look, I believe that your marketplace is going to last for at least another 3 to 4 years, and then it's going to soften. But I don't think it's going to be a meteoric climb like it has been in past risings. I think you're going to see a good push up the stairs, one step back, a good 3 or 4 steps forward, one step back. And just it's like retrenching for solid soil, if you will, as they're climbing. So if, in fact, we do have a deflationary experience, I don't believe, personally, it's my opinion, I don't believe we're going to see the cataclysmic environment we saw from 2007 through 2010. I think you're going to see a softening of prices, not necessarily in the housing market. It could be that you see it in the commercial market as well. Let me give you an example. You got 40 high rises being built in San Francisco right now.
Yeah, what the
40,
heck?
40. That's a lot of units that are going to be added into that marketplace. Some of those are offices, but a lot of them are residential. Now, what is that going to do to the rental market, to the condo market? Well, in the 5 years, over the 5 years that they become available, they're going to get absorbed. Now, they're going to compete against each other. They're going to – maybe the climb is not going to be 7% or 10% or, in this case, of the last year, 20% in a year. But I have to believe that the truth is there's demand there and there's no supply. And until our absorption starts to balance out, we're going to see climbing prices. Now, there are marketplaces where – the demand has enough supply, and those markets are just kind of puttering along. So personally, I just don't see this marketplace changing for the next 2 to 3 years. I really don't.
What about a pushback from the buyers? Like, for example, okay, so now you got 34 people competing for this one stupid house.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been...
You know what? Talk to me when you got one person competing for the house. When the house has been sitting on the marketplace for 9 months and there's nothing to... That's when you've had pushback. When a house comes on the marketplace and it's not getting absorbed very quickly, that's the time.
Okay.
So that's my thoughts on that issue. Okay, we have Mayho from San Jose. Is that right? Mayho, is that right?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hi. So I just wanted to, regarding Lisa's question... that the house was kind of three-bedroom, but they put it for, like, two bedrooms.
Yeah.
So here's my take. And as I agree with you, it might legally be just two-bedroom. And if they advertise it as three-bedroom, I think they are on the hook. So it would be advertised as two-bedroom and priced accordingly. But when, you know, when buyers would go and check and see, oh, wow, it's a three-bedroom, I think that's where the price, you know, the market price will take into consideration.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why you have 34 packages being sent out there. So
you're on Cliff's side is what I'm hearing. Darn it.
That's Cliff 1, Lisa 0. Okay, cool. Thanks, Mayo. Thanks for calling in. Sanjay from San Jose, you're on the line.
Yeah,
Sanjay?
Hello. Hi, good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was hearing the caller about whether this real estate market is a bubble.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's not a bubble, and the prices will keep going up because the U.S. real estate market is a safe haven for foreign capital. And what's going to happen is all this foreign capital, they're going to keep coming in and keep bumping the prices up. And the domestic wages are not keeping up with the price rise in the real estate market. So the locals will be reduced to being renters, and the ownership will be transferred overseas.
You know, you're hitting a really interesting topic, Sanjay. I first of all, I think that right now in the U.S., about 16, depending upon where you are, between 12 and 17% of the sales are being done to overseas investors. I was having a conversation with a Russian friend in New York the other day about the amount of money coming out of the Ukraine right now. They're just trying to get the capital out. So the safe haven concept, you are right on the mark here. We are going to see a pressure that's not even a local pressure suddenly being added in to help perpetuate this. Now, it may only keep it running for that 3 to 4 years, but it's definitely, I agree with you, I think it's going to keep running. And you're hitting right on a very sweet topic of mine personally in that.
And yeah, couple that with the domestic wages failing to rise, and the locals will be priced out of the market, and they will be forced to become renters.
Yeah, you know, I'll play devil's advocate on that one, though, because here's what I'm seeing. So we just had a rental that we placed in San Francisco, and all of the applicants for this unit in the city – all were high-tech people, every one of them. And of those, 50% of them were coming from outside of the U.S. They were coming to work in our high-tech firms. And they had, you know, they had no credit, so they had to provide copies of their offering agreements. And let me just tell you, that was enlightening. Seeing what, you know, a guy who's coming from, let's say, Brazil, where he's making $50,000 a year, suddenly gets a job at a startup here for $125,000 a year for the same job. Suddenly, that guy, you know, how do you think that's going to impact our market?
Yeah, because they're not tied to the country because of their work contracts. They're only here for 5 or 10 years. Yeah. They do not have an incentive to become an owner, so they'll make whatever they're making and just rent a pad for like 5-10 years and go back to Brazil or India or China or wherever they're coming from.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, it's...
So that's another pressure that will force the locals that are citizens out of the ownership market, and the ownership will be transferred overseas because all these other buku billionaires overseas, they'll be bidding each other out just to own a piece of the safe haven.
Yeah, and my question is, where are these locals going to go?
They will be moving inland slowly in waves like Arizona, Nevada, And pretty soon, wherever land is cheap, and they were just right. Like Colorado is coming up. So Utah and what's the other place? Idaho, and all these places.
Yeah, and well, in fact, you're hitting exactly what happened in the last run-up, where some of these inland marketplaces in that second tier in the United States from the coast, you know, that the Idaho, the Salt Lake cities, the Arizonas, the Las Vegas and Reno, those all became places for people to invest for exactly this reason. They were also the ones that fell the hardest when the marketplace got set back, but interesting.
And there'll be different ways moving into different areas, like one place, one wave of retirees, the other one for low-wage workers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, good thought. So you think it's going to keep going for how long, do you think? Couple of years?
Oh, forever, because what's going on long-term is the wages in the United States are falling and the wages overseas are rising. Mm-hmm. So the percentage rise in wages in the United States should be equal to the percentage rise in the property prices for this to balance out, which I don't think is going to happen.
Interesting. Interesting thought. All right. Well, thank you for the input, Sanjay. Appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with some real estate news right after this.
Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. So you may not know this, but we are sponsored by a local real estate company here in Northern California called Lyon & Foster International. The good folks at Lyon & Foster are an international luxury real estate company, helping home buyers and sellers as well as investors, whether they're buying or selling a home locally here in the Bay Area or abroad in a foreign country. So if you'd like some help or like to discuss those opportunities, please give the folks at Lyon & Foster a call. You can reach them toll-free at 855-367-4200. Again, 855-367-4200. Or you can email them at thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Again, that's thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com.
All right. All right, Lisa, what do you got?
All righty. This story is out of Los Angeles. It looks like Jeanette Jenkins and Dana Owens are putting their Los Angeles mansion up for sale for a mere $1.799 million. Mm-hmm. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, built Mediterranean-style home built in the 1920s. Now, don't you want to know who the heck Dana Owens is?
Dana Owens, yes. Who the heck is Dana Owens?
Queen Latifah.
Oh, really?
And Jeanette Jenkins is her BFF lady friend.
Oh.
So they purchased it back in 2010 for $1.324 and tried selling it last year for $1.8 and nothing happened. So they've now come down to a little bit of reality and got their house on the market. So hopefully it means they're not splitting up, but they're still together and just looking for greener pastures.
Wow. So a story coming out of San Francisco – where a longtime rent control tenant got a rent notice. So this is funny. It's not funny. It's tough. But so this is some people get surprised by these kinds of things. So the rent that she was paying was $2,145 for a two bedroom above a gas station and garage. So on March 2nd, she gets a notice that says effective May 5th, your rent's going from $2,145 to $8,900 per month.
Wait, this is rent control.
It is subject to rent control. She's always enjoyed the protection of rent control, but apparently it's been looked at by attorneys and the rent control board, and there are some ways in which they've done this that had to do with repairs that they did to the property, pass-throughs that hadn't been put in, all of these various things that basically created what's called a constructive eviction. So she actually has to leave. She's been there 11 years, and she thought she was safe, but she was not.
Don't you think that's bad juju?
Well, the change that occurred converted her building into a single-family dwelling. So, in other words, this property had this commercial downstairs and a little apartment up top, so they converted it into a house.
So how long does an owner
When they converted it into a house, it basically decontrolled it, in essence. And so she was able to jack the rent up some ridiculous amount.
All right, so it turns into a house. How long do they have to sit in it? Is there any time limit in which it has to be a single-family dwelling before they'll throw it on the market?
Once it got converted and it was legally a single-family dwelling, they did it. They got the notice. So that's a little bit of an interesting story. What else you got?
Do you know who Marty Nesbitt is? Probably not. Well, anyway, he's a pal of Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
That would be our president, yes.
Yes, and he's chair of the Barack Obama Foundation. Well, evidently, there's rumors going on because Marty Nesbitt just closed an $8.7 million deal to buy a secluded 1933 house in Honolulu. It's got 3 acres with protected beaches, turtle pond, and they're saying that they believe that it's actually the purchase was done for Obama by Nesbitt. So we'll see what happens.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So he's
But the best part of the house, besides all this other stuff, is it was the estate where Magnum P.I. was shot.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of cool. I remember that. Some people aren't listening to this show don't even know who that is.
I was going to try to do the theme song, but I couldn't.
You couldn't find it fast enough?
No, I kept thinking of Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so in line with, I got three stories I'm going to piggyback in line with a conversation we started a little while ago. So here's different sources. San Francisco Business Times is reporting they forecast that the average office rent will decline by 5% per year over the next 3 years, and the new office construction will raise supply about 6%. Both of those are going to create downward pressure on offices. So one of the most expensive marketplaces in the world at $64 a square foot with only a 6.5% or 6.7% vacancy rate, they're anticipating it that they will there will be downward pressure on it, but it'll still go up to $75 a foot. So it's going to go up 20%, then it's going to soften back 5% and 6%. So really? Okay. So piggyback that one with the fact that builders have increased. The builders are building 25% more homes in response to buyer demand. Now think about it. If you can't get a house because everybody's fighting for this thing, you can go into a new housing project before it's even built and reserve your home. And that's what they're doing.
The question is, dun, 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 where?
Come on. You know, it's actually a lot of these are going to be in areas with flatter land. Or more available land. You're starting to see construction out in the valley again. You're starting to see some stuff down in the South Bay. But North Bay, hey, we just saw a housing project here in Larkspur on a piece of land that's been fought over for 20 years. They built, 50 homes, 70 homes, something like that?
Yeah, and they're all gone.
And they're all gone. They were all gone within like a couple of months of them coming out. And they're all $1.5 million plus homes. So new homes might be a way to do it. And they had a line out the door. You had to stand up, take a number, all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's our news stories for this week. We're going to come right back with our question of the week. You're going to like this one. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat on KLOK 1170 AM. Lisa P. and I want to let you know that we are available to help you with your real estate needs, whether locally here in the Bay Area or internationally. You can reach us directly at 415-298-1899. Again, that's 415-298-1899. Or email us at cliff or lisa@thepropertybeat.com. We look forward to helping you with your real estate needs.
All right. Welcome back to The Property Beat, where it is time once again.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Mm-mm. I'm talking. Ooh, I hate that when that happens. Let me see if I can click away.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right, I'm back. All right. Gosh, I fell off into the technology world. Don't click that button, clearly. All right, folks. So it's time for our question of the week. So here it is. Here's the way this works. If you think you know the answer, be the first person to call in with the answer. And when you do that, you will win a Property Beat mug. So get ready. So the phone number to call in is 408-912-5565. Okay, that gets 408-912-5565. Here we go. The question of the week. I'm going to ask you for the address of this house. What is the address of this house? This house is valued by Zillow at $384 million. This house has 132 rooms, 35 bathrooms, 6 levels, 412 doors, 147 windows, 28 fireplaces, 8 staircases, 3 elevators, and it's a live workspace.
Oh, I know exactly where it is.
So you got to tell me if you think you know the address to this house.
I don't know the address.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, I know where
it
is.
You have to look it up, but you got to know. So this house that's valued by Zillow, it's just ridiculous. So, yeah, this was an article that appeared this last week. It's pretty funny. Because it just goes to show you that some things you just can't buy, but it's funny that they try. So what house is this and what's the address of this house? It's famous. You got to know it. So what house do you think it is? So what kind of clues? I've given clues. It's a live workspace. It's really big.
Well, I think that they'll guess.
You think they'll guess? Okay.
Yes.
So if you think you know the address of this house that Zillow values it, this $384 million, give me a call here at 408-912-5565. So what do you think?
Well, I think I guessed it, and I didn't even...
You didn't even think hard. You already knew?
Well, yeah.
Huh. And you weren't peeking?
Nope.
Huh. All right. Well, let's see if someone's... We've got Sarah Vonnen from Cupertino. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you. It's my first time. I'm just driving, and I thought I'll take a shot at this.
Okay. What's the address?
So I don't know the address, but I think it's the Ambani residence in India, in Bombay.
Oh, that's... You have the right thinking, the wrong country.
Okay,
you have the right thinking, but the wrong country. So, hey, that's great. So you're a first-time listener, so thanks for giving it a stab.
No worries, man. All right, thank you.
All right, take care. So, folks, we're still looking for the address of this famous house that has all of these rooms. You know, it I'll give you some other little tidbits. It requires 570 gallons of paint to cover the outside of this place. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know that.
I could ask a question, but I'd blow it.
No, you don't blow it. Don't give people the clue.
I won't.
So let's see. What else can I tell you? So we know it's not in India. We know it's a famous house not in India.
Buckingham Palace.
Okay, first of all, that's like A, that's cheating. B, that's annoying.
Well,
and C, you're not even close. So guess what, folks? It's not in England either. Uh-oh. So who's going to guess our address on this house? Actually, this is a pretty funny one. This is good. This is almost like my Monopoly game. I like it. So, we got somebody else calling in here. Okay, we have Vinay Scotts Valley. Let's see. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Vinay, what do you think? What's the address of this house, do you think?
It is White House, Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C.
You know what? We're going to give that to you. You are
absolutely
correct. It is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House. Isn't that well done, man? So, Vinay, I'm going to ask you now, are you a first time caller or have you listened to the show before or what?
Oh, this is my first time. I actually don't listen many times, but this is my first time going late to office.
Well, now you know what to listen to. Thanks for tuning in. So,
yeah.
Vinay, here's what I'm going to have you do. Stay on the line, and Harriman's going to get your email address. We'll email you and get your mailing address and all that. And you won a Property Beat mug. Congratulations. And we have Kumar from San Jose, it looks like. Kumar, are you on the line? Hello?
Yes.
Kumar, welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hey, the guy before me, Glory, that was my answer, too.
You were going to guess. Did you had the answer?
Yes, it's a White House.
Yes, that was.
Pennsylvania. Yeah. So that's my answer.
You were correct, but unfortunately you were the second one to get it. So yes. Thanks.
Okay, I have a question. Yes, where's Joe Biden?
The guy before me stole my glory, so that's fine.
All right, thanks, Gore. And okay. Then we have Padna from San Jose. Padna, you're on the line with us. Hello? Padna? I think we lost Padna. She dropped. Okay, so no callers. So that's good. So we just gave away our mug for the day, and yes, the answer was the White House. Yeah, that was actually a pretty fun one. I like that. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with some discussions to get your blood boiling.
Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat on KLOK 1170 AM on Wednesday mornings from 10 to 11 AM. Our sponsors at Lyon & Foster International want to let you know that they offer property management services throughout the Bay Area. If you have a property management need for any kind of property, you can reach them at 415-367-4200, extension 207. Again, that's 415-367-4200, extension 207. If you have a property management need, reach out to the folks at Lyon & Foster International.
And welcome back to the Property Beat, where we are talking real estate. So if you have a real estate question, comment, thought, just want to say hi, give us a call at 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. So I'm going to start off with a couple of intriguing thoughts for you. So people versus property problems. Where do you make your most money?
Property problems.
So give me an example of a property problem.
Foundation is falling down.
Property problem, foundation would fall down. People don't want to buy it because it's got a property problem. All right. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of a people problem.
Insane seller. Overreactive buyer.
I just put coffee through my nose.
Agent representing either party who's equally as insane. Win-lose philosophy.
Why does this sound like a lot of personal experience?
Well, I'm just saying. You said it's a people problem.
So a people problem could be an agent problem.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be, yeah. It could also...
Lack of client control.
Or it could be sellers in financial trouble. That's a people opportunity, right? So I would argue that it isn't the property problems that are the ones where there's the most money to be made, but it's the situational people problems that are creating, that create the greatest opportunity. For example, if you were buying foreclosure properties 3 years ago,
yep,
that's a people problem. That's not a property problem. That's people got in trouble financially. Mm-hmm. Did you make some money if you bought those properties at discounts? And
oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, you did. Usually with property problems, that's what everybody thinks about. They tend to think, oh, I can fix this and I can make that better. And that's good. That's okay. You do make them. But I look for – here's the key. Find an investment that has both of those problems. A people problem combined with a property problem, and you have an opportunity. So those of you that have been listening to our – pitch for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our Portland investment fund. It's called the Portland Series 1 LLC. This is an investment in which you can get in on with us. It's a $50,000 minimum investment. And what we're doing is we're taking advantage of exactly that up in Portland. Property and people problems combined. The people, the developers who built these projects, brand new condominiums, but in fact got stuck by the downturn in what we call a broken deal or a scrambled eggs deal. They've only sold 20 or 30% of their project and they're left holding the rest of it. But they went around and they went and refinanced that property as if it were an apartment building. So now they can't sell individual units. So the only thing they can do is sell them off in a mass. So sell them off in bulk. And that's where the opportunity comes, between those two arenas. And so we're looking at buying things at 25% below market value and then literally just flipping them right back out at retail with proper financing and marketing. So if that's something that interests you and you want to come play with that opportunity, then go to our website at thepropertybeat.com and you'll see something that says invest in Portland. Fill out the little informational inquiry form there and then we'll reach out and contact you. Now, we've been really busy this last week with a bunch of people, so we haven't gotten to everybody this last week, but we will. And the fund is still open and it's definitely worth checking out if you're interested in this kind of a play. If you believe in the Portland market and you like the sizzle of this kind of an investment, people and property problem, this is a goodie. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of people and property, to be honest with you. Okay. So, overbuilding. How do you know when you're overbuilding?
You mean your house?
Overimproving. Yeah, you're overimproving your house. How do you know?
Did you see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, that is an example of overbuilding.
No, that's an example of too highly customized building. Okay. Yeah, his house looked like the Parthenon or something, right? Yeah, with statues in front.
Yep.
Yeah, how do you know when you've overbuilt, or how? What would be a clue that you might be approaching overbuilding? What would you look at? Folks, if you have an input on this, get in on this conversation. It's a good one. 408-912-5565. If you have questions or comments about over-improving your house or questions about our Portland investment, give us a call.
Well, you can do the theory. I mean, you know, there's people do overbuild and over-improve their property,
mm-hmm.
thinking that they're going to be there for the long term. And,
right.
You know, they're going to be 10 years, 15 years. Maybe the neighbors will rise up to that level, which it does happen.
So, okay, so that's overbuilding knowingly,
right.
But because it's going to be your house, it's not saying it's a bad decision. Economically, it may not be brilliant, but how do you know when you're crossing the line? How do you know when you're probably overbuilding, overimproving? There's got to be
when your contractor says, "Are you sure you want to do that?"
They look at you and say, "Are you sure you want me to put that strawberry-colored marble in your bathroom?"
Well, would you recommend that they come and have a market analysis done by a real estate agent to see where they are versus or where they're going versus where they are? And
you're getting close to the so let's say that you start. I think you got to start by really understanding what your property is worth today. So get an estimate of value, right?
Okay.
I don't know if I'd get an appraiser, but I'd get an estimate of value, and then I would do a very simple thing. I would look at before I tell you what I would do, let's hear from Kumar. He's from Kumar from San Jose. Welcome to the show. Did you have some input on this idea?
Yes, I do have I live here in Milpitas, and there's a house in my neighborhood, and when you said like over improvement and you took a name of that movie, the My Greek Wedding, those tchotchkes in the front yard.
Yeah.
This house is a perfect example. And like this gentleman, like, you know, he's a good friend of mine. But you need to check this house out. I have some pictures. I can send it to you.
You should do that. Yeah, do it. We'll post it on the website. Oh, that'll be great. Yeah, shoot us a picture. Just email it to us at cliff@thepropertybeat.com.
That'd be great. Cliff at the property beat?
cliff@thepropertybeat.com, CLIFF.
Yeah, I'll do that. Like, this house is a prime example of, you know, those tchotchkes in the front yard. Like, this guy, not only the front yard, he's got a roof.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
All different types of animal sculpture, like, you know, frogs are playing band, those types of things, and it's just amazing.
Wow. Do the neighbors hate him?
No. I don't think so. No. In fact, what happened is his neighbors, he's even started on his neighbor's house also.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
That's hysterical.
Yes. I would think that people would come to go specifically to drive by his house. Is that true?
Yeah, you can drive by. I can tell you where this house is.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know exactly the address, but you cannot miss it.
Yeah, email us the information. That's hysterical. I want to see that. Yeah, I want to see the pictures.
Yeah, no, I'll email you those pictures. But, you know, this if you're familiar with Milpitas, there's an area called Pines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, where the Capitol Avenue West ends, you make a left on that street, and it's the fifth or sixth house on your left-hand side.
Oh, my. This is going to be funny. Yeah, send us a picture. That's great.
Propertybeat.com.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Kumar. Okay. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Just take care. Bye-bye.
That's hilarious.
So here's where I think for most people, like, because you know what happens is people go, okay, I want to put a kitchen in. I want to do a bath. I want to add a bedroom. I want to do this. I want to do that. So here's a really good rough process to think about. First is figure out what the value of your house is today, where it stands. And so that would be a couple of estimates of value from agents, or you could get an appraisal, but I just don't. I've seen too many bad appraisals over the years.
Okay.
And then take that and determine from that number, what is the value of your house per square foot?
Okay.
So let's say the value of your house per square foot is $250 a square foot based upon its current condition. If you were to do the improvements. So then have your agent tell you, these that are coming out and doing their estimates of value, what's the highest price per square foot in your area? So if in your area the highest price per square foot is $500 a square foot, then that tells you that if you were to put another $250 a square foot into your house, you'd be at the max value that you should be at for your area. If you put in $400 a square foot, you now would be overproving your house for the area.
Okay, I have a question.
All right, so let's...
So in this rising market, and, you know, I'm going to take, for example, I'm going to beat this dead horse about this house and its space. Okay, so the lowest comp is like $400 a square foot, and then it goes up to the highest, which is like $550 or whatnot.
Okay.
So you have to assume that there's a high, really good chance that it's going to go on the higher end, even though the house has not been improved.
Yeah,
so now you've gone and you've paid the highest price per square footage, and you got to dump another $200,000 into it.
Not a question. That is a danger. If you're thinking you're going to buy that and flip it, you're done.
Well, no, you're not going to flip it, but, you know, well, so how are you going to protect your investment?
You're just going to have to sit on it over time. That's exactly what happens. People, if you think about the people that bought at the height of the marketplace, those people are just now getting their equity back, right? They actually went underwater on their houses, and they just now have come back out. So you may sit on that house for a while if you're paying the max price per square foot and you put another bunch of money into it. You're going to be higher than the market value. Now, come on, how many times has that happened? Everybody that buys a house today, come on, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like buying a car brand new. You pay $20,000 for a car that's brand new. I don't know what you get for $20,000, but let's say you buy a $20,000 car, you drive it off the lot, and you change your mind and you want to take it back. What do you think the value of that car is now? Yeah, exactly. What, $15,000? You probably just lost $20,000, 20% of the value instantaneously. Okay, now what do you do?
So that you got to do some stuff. You got to put money in this house because it's old.
Right. So I'm giving you some groundwork to say that's why prudent buyers don't get involved in some of those games.
Well, in this marketplace, you won't end up with a roof over your head.
That's not true. You will. It'll take time, and you'll have to find the right combination. But something that is, you know, again, I think you got to be careful here. In like that house in particular you're talking about, one of the things that I would look to do is make that illegal space legal. That would be a very, very valuable thing to do. But there's a risk in that, isn't there? You go to try to make it legal, and the city turns around and says, now you got to tear it out. Should have never been built. That's a risk. So I'm just giving you a really rough guideline of how do you know when you're approaching over-improving or overbuilding your house. When you hit the dollars per square foot that is in excess between the current value and the additional value you're putting in, if you hit the excess per square foot of your the highest you can see in your market, you're about to hit overbuild. That is different than what Kumar was talking about, and even your house in from the My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That's an overly personalized house and an overbuilt house. So in combination, does that make sense?
Yeah, but how do you know when you're really overpaying?
Yeah, there is no such thing as overpaying.
Because you're willing to do it.
Because somebody's willing to do it, right? Therein lies the problem in these escalating marketplaces, is that people are willing to pay these crazy prices. But some people don't. And, you know, or they go to different areas where the competition is not as insane. I do see properties. It's interesting. I do see properties that people thought they were going to go instantaneously, and they don't. Right, they have to sit on the marketplace for a while, or they have a price reduction, then they finally go. So demand and supply, but overbuilding, I think that's a really good rough way to kind of figure out whether you might be stepping over the edge in terms of putting up too much money in your house. So let's take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back with more fire and brimstone here on the Property Beat. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat on KLOK 1170 AM. Lisa P. and I want to let you know that we are available to help you with your real estate needs, whether locally here in the Bay Area or internationally. You can reach us directly at 415-298-1899. Again, that's 415-298-1899. Or email us at Cliff or Lisa at thepropertybeat.com. We look forward to helping you with your real estate needs.
And welcome back to the Property Beat. All right, so I like these topics. I like it when people tell these stories, too. It's kind of fun. So I have a little bit of – I want to float something out there. And I want you – folks, if you're listening and you're kind of – on the front end of things in terms of investment thinking, I'm going to throw something out there. We're floating an idea. And we're going to float this a couple of times between now and the next month or so, but we're just kind of wanting to see whether, in fact, this sort of thing entices you. Because I personally am a big believer that there is an enormous opportunity in this arena. So here it is. Do you think that investing in, are you ready? Cannabis growing is a viable business opportunity right now? Do you think that cannabis growing and buying a property and putting a cannabis farm on it, do you think it's a viable opportunity? I'd love to hear from you, folks. Give us a call at 408-912-5565. It's just an interesting...
Well, is the use of cannabis increasing? Like the housing market, supply and demand?
Yeah. Well, apparently you have a lot of realtors jumping on that bandwagon, I guess, just out of frustration. You know, it's an interesting question. We're right in the middle of analyzing an opportunity, and we're looking at this is a potential investment arena, but I just really want to get a temperature from folks out there. Is this something that you think you would be? Do you think this is a good investment opportunity right now in the United States, or is it too far in front of the wave, or not, or is it behind the wave and it's too late already? You know, the guy that started PayPal just went and spent a bunch of money up in Canada and bought one of the largest marijuana farms up in cannabis farms up in Canada. And it's created a huge stir. And the SEC has now said that it's okay to do cannabis offerings, which is an interesting twist. Because obviously they're a federal agency and regulating and offerings and stuff. So it's like it's really an interesting question right now, I think.
So if they legalize it.
It's legalized in what? How many states? 15 states?
Okay, but if
states?
They legalize it in California.
Yeah.
Will you have a bunch of people setting up pot farms?
You will. I think you absolutely will. And actually, we're looking at potentially setting up a hydroponic marijuana farm up in the Portland, Oregon area, outside of Portland. This is an area where they've legalized it. It's a wide open frontier right now. And the channels of bringing really proper business practices to that industry it's so young in the overall industry, but I'm really curious. So folks, if you think, I'd love you to hear your thoughts. If this is something that would be of interest to you, on the Property Beat website, which yes, this is a real estate play because we're talking about buying and setting up a business farm. If this is something that might be of interest to you on the Property Beat website, you're going to see something called Cannabis invest us. It's our way just to kind of measure the temperature. If that's something that you would be interested in knowing, we don't think this is – we're not going to come out with this prospectus until May 1. But we are going to allow people to secure their place in line as an investor potential now. So we're just – it's just kind of an inquiry form. If you want to go online and just read it, propertybeat.com, in, Cannabis Investus, and just fill out the form if that's something that interests you. And we probably won't be reaching out to you for a couple of weeks. But it's just kind of setting your place in line if that's something that interests you. Because I think this is a – in the metrics that we've looked at, this is a huge moneymaker. I got to tell you, it's huge.
What's the cost to buy in, do you think?
Well, we're looking at is roughly is we'd have a $50,000 minimum buy-in. We'll, of course, accept larger amounts than that. We have actually one fund out of Seattle that's actually looking at maybe doing the whole thing. But we're just trying to see if this is if there's a passion for this or not. I have come to believe, yeah, but making fun of it, we all love to make fun of it, but the truth is it actually has a pretty valuable – it does help. It reduces blood pressure. Medicinally, it helps reduce blood pressure. It helps reduce back pains. It anxiety. I mean, there are cancer pains. I mean, there's a lot of really legitimate uses for this. And face it, folks, I've been a supporter of legalizing this stuff for years when I was a police officer because it's just silly that we were trying to – bust kids for smoking pot on a